When no one heard from her at work, they found her house unlocked and her dog alone and unfed. Her truck was spotted the next day, but she was nowhere to be seen. She says she had no choice but to escape with her child to protect him, but her story has a few holes. Although maybe she's just another Indigenous woman not getting the justice she deserves. This is the story of Dawn Walker, the award-winning Canadian author who won't serve any prison time for kidnapping her son and faking her death. Hi friends, I'm Katie, and this is Katie Does Crime. Thank you for joining me for the first time if you're new here. I'm a Midwesterner who now lives in New York City, putting my writing degree to use by researching true crime cases that interest me, and hopefully you. And hello to the usual rapscallions and reprobates, my own wonderful covey of incorrigibles. Please consider subscribing or joining me on Patreon if you'd like to hear more true crime stories. While I was researching my last case, the one where the husband faked his death in a kayak to go be with his new internet girlfriend in Asia, I came across this related story and just couldn't resist. As a person who for some reason was allowed to watch the Julia Roberts movie Sleeping with the Enemy on repeat as a child, I have a real interest in people who try to escape their old lives, even when it's sometimes not clear that there was anything to escape from in the first place. 48-year-old Dawn Marie Walker's co-workers knew something was wrong the moment they didn't hear from her. The Saskatoon mother was the CEO of the Federation of Sovereign Indigenous Nations and was known to be diligent about communicating with her staff. And it sounds to me like they didn't mind hearing from her daily, with her bright personality and upbeat attitude. They had especially expected to hear from Dawn on Sunday, July 24th, 2022, because she was supposed to leave to see the Pope. That week, Pope Francis was doing a tour of Canada with a focus on meeting Indigenous Catholic people. Dawn was going to go, but she had mysteriously gone silent. Back at Dawn's house, the door was unlocked and her suitcase was left in her room. Her dog was alone, barking, unfed, and forced to go to the bathroom inside. Her son, 7-year-old Vincent, was nowhere to be seen, and his iPad was left behind. Early the next morning, Dawn's red Ford F-150 was found near Chief Whitecap Park with her fishing rod nearby, but the mom and her son weren't in it. Someone turned Dawn's purse in after finding it in the same area near the river on Saturday. That purse made her family fear the worst. It wasn't clear what would have happened to Dawn, but she was a little bit of a public figure in Canada. She grew up on a First Nation reservation and got her BA in English from the University of Saskatchewan and her law degree from Queen's University. She wrote for newspapers, worked as a story editor for a TV show, and even once ran for parliament, unsuccessfully. In 2011, she wrote her first book, Nobody Cries at Bingo, a fictionalized account of her own childhood inspired by one of my favorite authors, David Sedaris. She went on to write 3 more books, won several awards, and was nominated for even more.
You know, I hated law so much, and I felt so very, very scared that that was going to be my life. Because I knew I wanted to be a writer, but I didn't think I was good enough. And I didn't think that was a real life that someone could have. I'd never met anyone who was a writer. And so I remember I was in the last year of law school and I was like, man, I have made a wrong turn. And my parents were like, you know what, just finish it. Then you can become a writer. And so I finished it. Then I articled. And then I went off to become a writer.
Under her pen name, Dawn Dumont, she was funny and she wrote about underrepresented Indigenous people. One reviewer said she wrote integral Canadian literature. But she was also an outspoken advocate for missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls, and you know that sort of thing doesn't always go over well with a specific kind of person. Still, nothing exactly made the authorities think there was anything suspicious about this particular disappearance. Volunteers were called in, searches began, candlelight vigils and walks were held, and a GoFundMe was set up to raise money to help find Dawn and Vincent. As you know well, these searches can sometimes go on for months or years or, well, forever. But Dawn and Vincent were found after less than 2 weeks. Because the police were able to track their movements through an Apple account Dawn was using to pay for gas, Airbnbs, and Netflix. Gotta stay entertained while you're hiding out, I guess. Her transactions led the police to a rental property in Oregon City, Oregon, and they said she had executed an elaborate ruse to enter the United States illegally. Starting in early 2022, Dawn wrote checklists reminding her to do things like dye her hair, cover her tattoo, throw her phone in the river, and pack toys for the trip. She stole her friend's identity and secretly got copies of the birth certificates of the friend and her child in March. She stole another friend's identity in April and opened up a new bank account. She sent $77,000 to it in June. She got new passports for herself and Vincent using the stolen birth certificates. She bought a cheap used vehicle and registered it to one of the stolen identities. She told people she planned to go fishing the weekend she disappeared. But on the morning of July 23rd, the day before Dawn and Vincent were reported missing, they crossed the Canadian border into Montana using their stolen names. When authorities caught up with Dawn on August 5th, thanks to her transactions, she was getting into her vehicle and evidently leaving her son behind, alone inside the house. The special agent who approached her told her that people assumed she and Vincent had died in the river, and she said he doesn't want to be with his father. She had a fake letter from the father, notarized and all, that said he gave permission for Vincent to travel to the U.S. for a wedding in South Dakota. Dawn was charged in both the United States and Canada for falsifying documents, kidnapping, and my favorite, public mischief. Dawn pleaded not guilty. Dawn's sister, who of course had believed that Dawn was missing or dead, said she must have had really good reason for leaving everything behind. At a hashtag Stand With Dawn rally, the sister said, "I know that she had ongoing issues with the legal system, and I think she felt that she didn't have any other option, and I feel like there's a lot of other women in her shoes." See, Dawn's lawyers said she had made two complaints of sexual and emotional abuse against her white ex-partner, Vincent's dad. The two were together for 4 years before they separated in 2018. The Saskatoon Police Service said that the DV allegations were thoroughly investigated and that no charges were filed. But Dawn's lawyers said she had to make this desperate attempt to protect Vincent when legal means of getting help failed her. Dawn said she feared for her own safety and felt that Vincent was in grievous, imminent harm. She said she was simply left with no choice, but she apologized to anyone she hurt in the process and said the love she has for Vincent made her act irrationally. She said, "No one heard me. I am fighting systems that continuously fail to protect me as an Indigenous woman and protect non-Indigenous men." In November 2023, Dawn changed her plea to guilty for forging a passport, possessing a forged document, and abduction in contravention of a custody or parenting order. Six other charges were dropped, including the charges in the U.S. She was given a one-year conditional sentence of 300 hours of community service and 18 months of probation, which is kind of wild because kidnapping her kid alone could have put her in prison for up to 10 years. The prosecutor said her guilty plea proves that she didn't have a leg to stand on, that her claims against Vincent's dad were false, and her son was never in danger. The ex gave a victim impact statement in court, saying that he was devastated by his son's disappearance and felt helpless that he couldn't even help search. He was being viewed as a villain by the public, so the police actually told him to stay away because they were concerned for his safety. He also had to move away when he was doxxed online. But he said the biggest victim in all of this is Vincent, who obviously had lasting trauma and was paranoid about keeping the doors locked when he returned home. The prosecutor said that Dawn's sentence sends a message that people who are unhappy with family court proceedings can't just take the law into their own hands. Now, not knowing the facts of the relationship between Dawn and her ex, I don't want to make any judgment on what Dawn may or may not have been through. It's simply a fact that Indigenous women in Canada are often overlooked, unless, of course, it's to put them in prison. According to a 2021 Statistics Canada study, Indigenous women are incarcerated at a rate 15 times higher than non-Indigenous women. Indigenous women also make up half of all female inmates in Canada's federal prisons, despite making up only 5% of the overall Canadian female population. So it's great that Dawn was doing work to advocate for these women, but then her whole plot to disappear really undermines that work. If her feeling is that Indigenous people's deaths and disappearances already aren't investigated properly, her little shenanigans will only cast doubt and skepticism on future cases where women actually need help. Dawn cost the government more than $100,000 searching for her. And not to be petty, but I also can't forget that she left her pets alone with no guarantee that they'd be found in time to be kept alive. A Department of Homeland Security agent said that Dawn and Vincent's dad were involved in a custody dispute when she faked her death. She had tried to move to a different province with Vincent in early 2022, but the court denied her. And who knows, maybe she was telling the truth when she said Vincent didn't want to live with his dad. Or maybe she just didn't want to let Vincent go, even part-time, and was willing to do whatever it took to keep him. In court, Dawn said she'd been diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder and PTSD, and you have to wonder if that's from the abuse she allegedly endured, or if it's what caused her to behave irrationally. I usually err on the side of believing victims, of course, but here's one thing that stood out to me. When Dawn agreed to a co-parenting schedule with her ex in 2021, she didn't mention anything about abuse nor being scared for the boy's safety. You would think that would come up. The worst part for her is that after Dawn and Vincent were tracked down in the U.S., Vincent was returned home to his dad, and as part of her sentencing, Dawn can't have unsupervised contact with her son. So after all of this supposed attempt to protect her son, his dad gets him in the end. But who knows, maybe Dawn had her eyes on a bigger prize. She told the BBC, "Racism and the ongoing effects of colonialism, especially within the province of Saskatchewan, needs national and international attention." So if it's attention she wanted, I guess she succeeded. Thank you for tuning into my podcast episode. I'm just a true crime fan like you are, and I really appreciate you taking a chance on me. Please subscribe and tell a friend if you like spending this time together. You can also find me on YouTube in the flesh by searching Katie Does Crime.